Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Astro Dim laying in my bed because you know it's my bed in astrology. And I would be outside, but goddamn it is hot as fuck, y'all. It's mad hot. I ain't doing that to myself. I'm not. But I'm so happy summer is coming. I know it's technically late spring, but the vibes is giving summer. It's like 86 degrees up where I'm at in the Northeast. The high is going to be 87. It was 90 yesterday. Like, child. I'm super duper excited. But it is going to rain later on today. So it's like, okay, well, there's no thunder and lightning. Let me go ahead and talk to y'all real quick about the sect in astral cartography and how it could be applied to you, right? So, you know, the last podcast episode, I talked about, you know, nocturnal charts and diurnal charts and which planets kind of connect more with the diurnal charts, which planets connect more with the nocturnal charts, right? So for a little catch up, you know, if you are a day chart, you know, it's Saturn, Jupiter, and the Sun that works for you. If you're a night chart, it's the Moon, Venus, and Mars that works for you. But when things are out of sect, you know, that energy doesn't work. The planets doesn't work as optimally as if they were in sect, right? And so I was basically trying to tell you guys that, hey, you can apply this to astral cartography if you're wondering if you should go to one line or another, but it should not be the end all be all, right? Because like, say if you have a day chart and you know you want to move to your Mars line because there's more opportunities there, but you know your Mars is in a Mars bound, in a Mars decade, and it's well aspected. Child, you better move to that Mars line. Like, yeah, you know, it's out of sect and you have some like lessons to learn. It's a little bit harsh because, you know, that Mars line is pushing you to not be as disciplined and responsible in a way that we always see it. And, you know, and I know I want to say this a little bit more lightly. You know, Mars pushes you to kind of like follow that fire and that passion from within and sometimes jump at things haphazardly, while Saturn wants you to plan for everything, right? And there is a time and place for both. You know, I know a lot of times we get told like we need to be disciplined, we need to be responsible, we need to look things through every time, but sometimes you don't have the time to do that and you lose opportunities because of that, right? And so there is a time and a place for both. And so you'll learn how sometimes, you know, if a person has a beautiful Mars, they might learn how, you know, and they have that, you know, that explanation that I just gave about they have a day chart, they have a beautiful Mars though. And so Saturn's a planet that's actually more supportive to them, and Mars, they learn their more harsher lessons. Then you'll have this lesson of, you know, how sometimes trying to prepare too much can get you caught up. And sometimes you do have to like be like a fucking trader in the New York Stock Exchange and just go with it sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, of course, all of the like information and the details are very important, but sometimes you don't got the time and you got to fill things out. And so that's the kind of like the lesson, honestly, when it comes to, you know, people who have day charts and they have Mars, you know, being focused for that year, for that time. And same, and it's vice versa for people who have night charts, but Saturn is the focus for some reason. You know, you're learning that like jumping haphazardly can lead you into really fucked up shit. And sometimes you need to have that discipline. You need to have that authority and listen to authority. You need to have that responsibility and look things through. You get what I'm saying? With benefics, is a little bit different, but I'm actually going way off subject. If you want to learn more about that, y'all, go and listen to the last, you know, podcast episode I did on this, right? But excuse me. But I want to talk about, you know, Mercury, because if you notice, I didn't talk about Mercury. And so you might be like, okay, so is Mercury a nocturnal or diurnal planet, right? Mercury is actually both. Mercury is known for kind of playing the fence, playing both sides of the situation. And so, you know, Mercury could be both diurnal or nocturnal. But this is the thing. in certain aspects of traditional astrology, there's still saying that, like, well, yes, Mercury can be diurnal or nocturnal. However, you know, it depends on how Mercury is placed, whether it's diurnal or nocturnal. So Mercury can't just jump whenever. You know what I mean? Some astrologers really feel like, okay, it really doesn't matter. You know, Mercury can play whatever sect they want at any time. But there's other, you know, astrologers that's like, no, there's actually a time and place for Mercury as well. All right, so let's go ahead and talk about it. So in astrology, there's like these concepts that's called Oriental or Occidental, right? And Oriental represents when a planet is rising before the sun, so it's a morning star. And Occidental is when a planet is rising after the sun. So, you know, I mean, it can technically be an evening star, but, you know, it's regardless, it's rising. Well, it will be an evening star technically, because the sun will be too bright, and so you won't be able to see the star. But when the sun sets, you get to see it right when the sun's setting. So, yeah, it'll technically be an evening star. So, sorry about that. But anyways, that's the difference between Oriental and Occidental, right? And so, in traditional aspects of astrology, you know, in ancient aspects of astrology, which, you know, yes, I'm a modern astrologer. However, I use, you know, ancient concepts in my you know, astrology. All right, so I didn't want to say that. Okay, but anyways, you know, Mercury, when Mercury is rising before the sun, it is Oriental, and when Mercury is Oriental, it's a diurnal planet, right? And so you're like, okay, so how am I supposed, if I'm looking at the chart, how am I supposed to know when, you know, Mercury is rising before the sun, when Mercury is before the sun, right? So let me give an example. Say that I have like Capricorn sun at 15 degrees. If Mercury is any energy before that, so it'll be, you know, 14 degrees of Capricorn and onward, because Mercury can't be more than two signs away, so it'll be basically 14 degrees Capricorn to 0 degrees Sag, you know what I mean? That means that Mercury is Oriental, right? So Mercury has to be before the sun. Okay, now it's vice versa for, you know, Mercury and being a nocturnal planet. Mercury is nocturnal when it's Occidental, and Occidental is basically when Mercury is rising after the sun. So what's in this evening star. And so what's happening is the sun, say the sun's at Capricorn, 15 degrees, you know, that's basically if the Mercury is at 16 degrees Capricorn and later. So 16 degrees of Capricorn all the way to like 29 degrees of Aquarius. Okay, so that's what that is. So if Mercury is before the sun, it is Oriental. When Mercury is after the sun, it's Occidental. Now, when Mercury is Oriental, that means it's a diurnal planet. When Mercury is Occidental, that means it's a nocturnal planet. Okay? Yes. So there is some specifics here. Now, this is the interesting thing. It's that, like, you know, your Mercury could be out of sect too, using this concept, right? And so this is something to keep in mind. So if you have a day chart and your sun is, or and your Mercury is Oriental, then I'll be like, if we're using the concept of sect and astral cartography, then yes, like, move to your Mercury line. It may serve you, right? But if, and I got personal examples of this, if you got a day chart and your Mercury is Occidental, you may have some difficulties. I'm one of those people that have those difficulties, right? And so let's do it. You know, before I talk about my story, let's talk about, you know, nocturnal, right? So if you have a night chart, right? And if you don't know what all these concepts means, let's do the, you know, the podcast episode I did before, okay? So if you have like a night chart, right, and your Mercury is occidental, then you're good. Yes, move to your Mercury line, experience it. But if you have, you know, a night chart and your Mercury is oriental, is rising before the sun, then there's going to be difficulties for you. Okay? So, again, this is my example, right? I have a day chart, but my Mercury is occidental, right? And so my sun is at a lower degree. My sun and my Mercury is both in Capricorn, but my sun is at a lower degree than my Mercury, right? I'll just give you the fucking degrees because y'all can figure it out anyway. It's not that big of a deal. Y'all know my age, you know my birthday. My sun's at 16 degrees. My Mercury is at 25. Okay. So I have a day chart because I'm sun in the 12th, but I have an occidental Mercury. So I struggle with Mercury. Now, my Mercury is not the best, but it ain't the worst either. It just has a square to Jupiter. That's it. I don't really have energy in Libra. Don't really have energy in Cancer. You know, if you want to include Earth sign, which not the element Earth signs, but the placement Earth sign, you know, technically my Mercury is opposite my Earth. But and that's if you want to use that concept. But, you know, the main thing is my Mercury is square Jupiter, right? Which could be difficult in itself, you know? Sometimes I struggle. Sometimes I overpromise, and I don't mean to. I really don't. I really don't, you know? But, yeah, like, that's that energy. I have that energy in my chart. Now, luckily, though, it's a separating square. And I think that does make a big difference. I'm going to go off subject. So I'm just going to cut that conversation right there. Okay. Anyway, I hate my Mercury lines. I struggle. I don't just hate it. I'll just say I struggle with my Mercury line. One of the famous places that I have my Mercury, like cities I have my Mercury line on, and I like literally cannot stand this city, Atlanta. I struggle in Atlanta. Okay. I fucking struggle in Atlanta. I never liked it. That Mercury is my Mercury ascendant line, and that Mercury square Jupiter was strong, guys. Like, oh, it was so difficult. I remember I went there when I was 11 and I wanted to go home so bad. And I have a lot of family there too, a lot of people, like cousins and stuff around my age. I hated it, and I wanted to go home. I really could not stand that place at all. Like, it just wasn't for me. And it's crazy because I was like, maybe, you know, I was a kid and I wasn't feeling certain things. When I was there, my grandma was in the hospital, so maybe it was like a trauma experience, whatever. Like, that could be, I was thinking that could be it. Let me go and try to go there. This is like, I knew at the time when I went to Atlanta, of course I knew about astrophotography, but I wasn't like balls deep in it like I am now, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, all right, let me go and try to go there again. I went there as an adult. Let me say this. When I go on vacation, I'd be like, damn it, I don't want to go home. My ass was ready to go home. And it wasn't that I had a bad time. My ass was just ready to go home. I never want to go home. I never want to go back home. I want to like stay in the hotel, be in the vibe, get comfy, like, you know, be served. You know, I have a Leo moon, baby, and I'm 7 to 12. Like, my soul is used to this shit. And I was ready to go home. I was ready to go home. It's the craziest shit. I never want to go home. You know, there's other things happening there too with that, that makes it difficult for me there. But like because, you know, even though my Mercury line's in New York and it's in Atlanta, my experience in New York versus my experience in Atlanta are different. But the similarity that I had there is the busyness. Shout out to my cousins, you know, my family's big, and because of that, we have a huge age range, and my first cousins are like, could be my parents. And so my first cousin's kids, which is my second cousins, are actually around my age, right? And so shout out to my you know, my first cousins, because they kept the kids active. We were always doing something. We was always going somewhere. We was always experiencing things, which was really cool, right? But it was very busy, and I just wanted to be chill. And every time I, like, you know, all the cousins in one place, because I have so much family down there, I was like, okay, I want to stay at this person's house. And they would come and follow. And I'm like, fuck. Like, fuck, I want to be just them with them by myself, and I want to just chill. I'll be so bad, child. I'll be so annoyed. Like, can y'all just go home and leave me alone? I don't want to be around y'all. Like, it was so, and I'm a 12th house too. I'm so used to having time to myself. I have a big family, immediate family, but, you know, there's a huge age difference. I'm the youngest, but the next youngest is 5 years older than me. And so, you know, that's a big difference when you're a kid. And so I spent a lot of time by myself, and it was a lot of instances where it sometimes felt like I was the only child, right? And so I was used to being able to have time for myself, and I just could not there. And I hated it. I fucking hated it so much. Like, it was really difficult. So, you know, Atlanta was ass for me. Like, and as an adult, it's still ass. I just don't feel good there. You know what I mean? I was ready to go home. I never really want to go home. I'm always ready to go home when I go to Atlanta, right? And then, you know, I told y'all, New York is a little different. And it could be because of the house placements too. That's why I like to look at not just whole sign with astrophotography, but Placidus or whatever house system is your favorite. Besides whole sign, utilize that with astrophotography, because it makes a great difference. It really does. But with, you know, in New York, what it is there is I'm always busy, just similar to how it was in Atlanta. And as an adult, I'm going there. I used to go there when I was a kid too. My sister went to school in New York and everything. I had people over there. But I went more often when I was adult. When I was an adult. And you know, when I went over there, like, I have so many people in New York, and they get mad if I go there, even for the weekend, and I don't get to see them. And I get it, because they miss me. I miss them too. But it's not enough time in the day to see everybody. And then people get mad at me, and it'll stress me out. And I felt like I could never just sit and chill. Like, sit and chill at the stoop. Sit and chill at a spot. Like, I'm always going somewhere in New York. I'm always busy. It's exhausting. And I love New York and its busyness, but there's times where you just want to fucking chill. I can't chill there. I can't, even like, a lot of my people moved down to New York. Even if I go there now, I'm probably gonna be running around. It's not enough time in a day, I feel like, with New York. It's my Mercury line stairs, Mercury ascendant line. So yeah, like, you know, I struggle, and it's because my Mercury is out of sect. And so, you know, and plus that Jupiter energy, Jupiter expands everything, right? It expands everything for the good and for the bad. And so I will say though, because, you know, Mercury is in my, in New York, and also in Atlanta, with Mercury being in my first house, you know, because it's a square, that means Jupiter is in my fourth. It could be in your 10th too, but in my case, it's in my fourth. And there's always a nice place for me to stay in Atlanta. That's in New York. I always got a good place to stay, and it's not crummy. When it comes to places to stay, I always got somewhere to stay in those areas. It's because Jupiter's in my fourth, and it's always a nice place to stay. Okay? So it does have its advantage. It does have its advantages, but like, Lord, okay? Like, I am just always busy, always annoyed, always irritated, always frustrated. Not really with New York, more so with Atlanta, but New York, I'm always busy, and just my busyness frustrates. The busyness frustrates me really bad. But I love New York though. New York's, that's, I'm from Boston. That's our cousins. Boston, New York with cousins. Okay, so I like New York. We get at each other, we nag each other and shit, but we love each other too. So I enjoy myself there. But yeah, and so it's crazy because this, like, places I want to go that's on my Mercury line, and I'm keeping that in mind, right? So it doesn't have to be my Atlanta experience all the time. It could be a little bit of my New York experience, but not as whack, or New York experience not as whack, but not as like busy. Or it could be, you know, my Atlanta experience, but not as annoying for me, like, you know. But there is this essence of mercurial energy, communication gone wrong, confusion, busyness, and being frustrated and irritated by that energy's there. And yes, you know, my Mercury is square my Jupiter, but I think a lot of it has to be with my Mercury being out of sect as well. All right, now again, don't let this be the end all be all. There are other indications in astral photography, like Perans. You know, Perans are very huge in astral photography. So, you know, it could be that the crossings or the Perans I have in New York are not as bad as the crossings and Perans that I have in Atlanta, right? And then if you go towards the tropics, then you have to consider like the zeniths. You know, I could have a positive zenith in other Mercury lines that make it a little bit better or make it even fucking worse, right? There's so much to astral photography. And if you really want to learn about this in depth and really get into it, guys, I have a course. Payment plans are available. And I'm actually going to create a cheaper version of my course too. And the reason why I'm going to do that is because, I know the course is expensive, but I spent a lot of time and a lot of my literally years and years of knowledge was applied to this course. But the thing is, the reason why the course is, you know, a hefty price too, is because you have me as a mentor. You know, all my students, they'll tell you, if you need to schedule time and talk, I will make the time. I will figure it the fuck out and make the time for you. And I love talking to y'all, man. It's a little frustrating because I went into so much detail that a lot of my students don't have questions. But, you know, when they do, I'm here and I'm here to help. So what I'm going to do is this, right? I'm thinking that I'm going to make the price half off, but you don't, and you're able to have access to the course, but you don't have my mentorship. Okay, so I'm just giving you the information. And again, a lot of my students, you know, they feel like they don't need my mentorship, right? Or a sense of like, I don't think they need it, but they feel like I'm so thorough with the course that they don't have much questions. But some of my students need me to help them, to hold their hand, to like practice, to set time to talk. And so if you know that that's your style, then you know you're gonna have to pay the full price. But for the people who feel like they can learn by themselves, all they need is the information, I'm gonna make it half off, which is around like what it gonna be, like maybe like 250 something. It's gonna be like more than 250, but let me around that price, you know, like upwards of 200, basically the upper part of 250, 270, something like that. It's gonna be something like that, basically. But for the folks though who have my course, to have better access to me, I'm gonna give y'all my business number, and I usually have my business phone with me often, right? So I'm gonna give y'all my business number, so we don't just have to set up time, but y'all could just like chat with me, just text me if you have a quick question. And I love voice notes, so I'm gonna do a voice note most likely, okay? But y'all could do that. We can set up time. We can FaceTime each other, but we have to schedule that, child. That's very important because I'm very busy. But you know, that's what I'm thinking about doing, okay? Because honestly, my mentorship, I deserve more than that money, but I do want to make it affordable for people, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's how I'm gonna go about doing it, and we can continue these conversations and shit. I would love to do that too. But I definitely wanted to explain this to you. You know, when your Mercury is out of sect, you know, just think about any other planet that's out of sect, is because there's going to be some difficulties, right? Is it going to be as whacked as an out of sect malefic? No. Is it going to be as mid as an out of sect, you know, benefic? No, it'll be even more mid, right? But you know, like it is something that you need to be aware of, right? It does weaken the planetary experience, right? But sometimes, again, this is not the end all be all. It might be worth it. It might be worth it. If your Mercury is fucking lit, your Mercury's on a Mercury decan, a Mercury bound, beautifully aspected, no harsh aspects at all, child, go. I don't give a fuck if it's out of sec. Go. Okay. All right, y'all. So that's what I have for you. I hope this was helpful. Next podcast episode is actually going to be next week. And I'm going to be talking about accidental dignities. And this is my favorite. I love accidental dignities. I think the reason why I fuck with accidental dignities too is because, like, this is something that's non-debatable. Traditional astrologers fuck with it. Modern astrologers fuck with it. Everyone fucks with it. It's real and it's dope and it's nice. And I love talking about it, especially when it comes to astrophotography too. All right, y'all. Peace. Since we're all on the internet, internet protection is probably at the utmost importance, especially now. I like to do this through Surfshark's VPN services because, you know, they cover you with a VPN. They cover you with a whole bunch of other services as well that protect you while you're online. It's very, very awesome. Right now, in the link of my bio, you can get 80% off of Surfshark VPN for 2 years, all right? 80% off. It is a deal. Now, my favorite thing about Surfshark is that you can add multiple items in there. So you can add your laptop, your phone, your iPad, all of that. And multiple people can put their items in there too, in your family, if you have a big family like me. So check out Surfshark VPN. Go to the link in my bio to get that 80% off and enjoy. All right.